Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Well, there it is. A great win for the Chicago Cubs to start the playoffs. It was easy. The Cubs had it the whole time, guys.
If you say so.
Johnny Cueto. Never a doubt. Javi Baez comes through. This is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGM. My name is Adam Hoge. Andy Mazur is here. You heard Sam Panionovich and Mike Jacobson for the last hour as they went through Preps Plus.
Yeah, by the way, if you
missed, all plus here.
If you missed any scores, WGMradio.com. That's where you get it.
There
thanks to Mike, and thanks to Joey Gelman, and thanks to John Hurster, head coach of Oak Park. But it's time to talk some True Blue. That's the way it works after you win 1-0 in game one of the playoffs, Andy.
It's unbelievable. Speaking of, me and Andy were just watching the Javi Baez homer. It wasn't even, it was a bat drop.
It was a bat drop combination flip.
It wasn't a flip. It was
a drop flip.
Beep, beep. Get rid of that bat. It's done all it needs to do.
Right in the basket.
You know, it's if you're the Giants, you're reeling right now because Johnny Cueto was absolutely dealing with the combination of the quick pitch, the Louis Tiant style, the hesitation Japanese style almost, really had the Cub hitters off balance most of the day. But on the other side of the coin, John Lester, if anybody doubted that this guy should be pitching game one, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, it was really, I said this, Andy, to you in the elevator coming down here. What a perfect game one for the Chicago Cubs. You have John Lester pitch lights out, so no problems there. And he only throws 86 pitches, so he's fresh. If something crazy happens later on in the series, mm-hmm. You can always go to him. Maybe he pitches game four now. Who knows? Maybe that's why Joe Maddon pulled him out when he did, or maybe he just knew Javi Baez was going to hit that home run. I don't know. Joe Maddon seems to – everything he touches is gold. But then you have – not only – do you get a clutch home run, but it comes from Javi Baez, who this team really needs to he's already emerging, but really come out clutch in the playoffs because we see so many guys disappear sometimes when the pressure starts. What a great way to start for him.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier today on Steve Cochran's show. You know, last year Kyle Schwarber was the guy that kind of came out of nowhere, and he was the guy that hit the home run, the mammoth home run that's still up on the scoreboard out in right field, and he's out. You need somebody else who's going to show themselves here in the playoffs. I think Jorge Soler, to a degree, did last year as well. Baez was primed for this. The way that his year went this season, cutting down his strikeout rate almost in half, they're so much better a team when he is somewhere on the field and in that lineup than they are without him.
If I would have told you the Cubs would win a game in which they had three hits, what would you have said? No way.
John Lester.
Yeah, John
was
Lester
lights
would have to
out.
Do his thing, yeah.
I mean, but to win a playoff game at home when you only have three hits, it doesn't happen very often.
And the opposing starter has 10 Ks.
Yeah, 10 strikeouts
and that's the thing, in control. You could say that maybe the Cubs' offense wasn't perfect tonight, but, I mean, come on. Johnny Cueto was pitching just as well as John Lester, and you got to give the other guy credit sometimes. This was just an old-fashioned pitcher's duel.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
The Cubs come out on top with the clutch hit. So here's the deal. We're here for you. For at least the next hour, we'll take your phone calls, 312-981-7200, Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Sam Panionovich, and we'll carry Joe Maddon live, at least that's our hope, from the ballpark. We have Mark Carmen out at Wrigley Field as well. He will join us at some point, so we're here with you, and we're going to be here with you throughout the playoffs as well. But now we get a check of news. All right, off the bat, I thought that ball was like on a rooftop.
Yeah,
I can't believe it just landed in the basket. I think Matt Vaskirjan, who's here on the call there, courtesy of FS1, thought the same thing off the bat. I mean, I guess the way the wind was blowing, it knocked it down because it looked like Javi Baez got all of that. The exit velocity, as you pointed out to me, was 107
off the bat. Yeah, they projected the distance at 381. That's a you know, the projected distance and where it actually lands are two different things because right. it takes into the factor of the wind. But it went about 3 inches further as far as it had to go, and that's the game.
Look, boys, this isn't a warm summer day.
No.
It's right. 52 degrees yeah. right now. It's probably even colder at Wrigley where the wind is hustling and bustling.
You brought it up in a pregame that, you know, you got to deal with the conditions of October, and it's different. It's a different animal. That was a perfect example, but at least it landed in the basket.
Yeah, which is why, you know, when you look at the roster, the way it's constructed here for this first round, there's a premium on pitching and a premium on defense. And that's what wins. And I know it sounds really cliche to say, but you cannot depend on huge outputs offensively in either of these two cities in October. I mean, San Francisco will end up being colder than it is here in Chicago. I guarantee that.
That's Andy Mazur. You've heard him talking Cubs on this station forever. And we are excited to be here. Adam Hoge, Sam Panionovich as well. This is True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. And we are here for you as you exit the ballpark, as you're leaving. I'm sure you're all excited. 312-981-7200. We'll have Joe Maddon for you when he gets to the podium. Mark Carman out at Wrigley Field as well. And let's get back to really what this means for the Cubs, other than, okay, they're up 1-0. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, and Sam, you said this in the pregame when we talked to you. You didn't get the sense there was a lot of pressure, at least the way they're showing. And I think that is a theme of this team this year, the way they've acted, that, you know, things are calm, cool, and collected. However, you lose game one, pressure builds a little bit. All of a sudden you lose game two,
yep.
Now you're really under pressure because everything you work for all season.
Just ask the Rangers.
You can't avoid it. And John Lester was very honest this week saying, hey, look, it's different when you're in the playoffs. There's obviously pressure, but this keeps it off. Everyone can breathe. And I think that's the best thing for this team right now is to be as loose as possible. So to battle out a game against Johnny Cueto the way they did tonight is just huge.
I actually think them winning this first game, it makes life so much easier on Kyle Hendricks, who all of a sudden doesn't have to be the savior in game two and doesn't mm-hmm. have to save the season after John Lester could have potentially fumbled and lost in game one. Now, Hendricks doesn't have to worry about doing too much. He can pitch his game. He can maneuver in and out of the zone. And this is a huge change of pitch movement, of stuff. You get the lefty with the great two-seamer and a solid changeup, and now you get a guy who's going to come in and throw 88, 89 to keep you off balance all night. This is, you know, you're staring down the barrel of the gun if you're the Giants.
And this is why Joe Maddon decided Kyle Hendricks pitches in game two as opposed to game three. Even if you lose game one at home, you still have a shot going to San Francisco to do what you need to do, and that's split. You know, the worst thing you can do, you know, is split at home going to San Francisco for game three. You don't want that pressure on a younger guy that, yeah, he did fine on the road. I would rather have this young guy pitching at home in front of the friendly crowd with a little extra pressure perhaps on him. But now, you know, it's a little more of a regular season type of feel for him, at least to try to get him to think that way, to go out and just do what he's done all year, which has been basically put up zeros.
Right, especially at home where he's been so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Jake Arrieta may not be, you know, completely happy about the situation, him starting game three after everything he's done for the Cubs the last couple of years. But I agree, the logic, and certainly it looks a lot better after you win game one.
It does.
We're probably having a little bit of a different conversation if they lose this, because now, as you pointed out, Sam, a lot of pressure on Kyle Hendricks, but this keeps it off a little bit. And what if you're the Giants now and you're looking at just going, Jeff Samardzija, game mm-hmm. two, okay, he's pitched at Wrigley a lot in his career, but I don't know that you're feeling totally comfortable about that.
You're probably not. I mean, I would not be surprised if tomorrow, especially as deep into the game as Johnny Cueto went today, that first sign of trouble, and it's an exit. It's going to be an exit for Samardzija just because of the fact that, you know, kind of like we were talking about with Lester, the pitch count was very economical where you can bring a guy back if you need to. Same thing with Samardzija. If he doesn't have it tomorrow, you don't want to save those bullets and maybe, you know, having to use them later in a series. You know, you've got Madison Bumgarner around the corner in game three. So if you're the Cubs, after winning this game today, you're saying, all right, listen, we got to put the pedal down to the metal and we got to win this game tomorrow because, you know, there's a good chance that Madison Bumgarner is going to shut you down.
You know how many playoff starts Jeff Samardzija has in his career? None.
Zero.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So to throw him out there, and I understand he's been in some big games maybe they were in July, right?
When they were at Notre Dame.
When the team was trying to avoid, you know, the White Sox were trying to avoid the trade deadline and avoid the fire sale. He's never pitched in a big game in his life.
No.
Yeah. And now he has to save the San Francisco season on the road in Wrigley. He leaves balls up in the zone. If he hangs a splitter, it's going to land on Waveland. If you're a Cub fan right now, you have to be extremely ecstatic about the way this goes because you didn't even play that well today offensively. Right. I mean, you weren't even that good. You had one hit, but it was your pitching and your defense that won the war.
Let me give you my quick take. Yeah, I mean, I know we've got a lot to get to here in the hour. I want to hear from Joe Maddon when he gets to the podium here. But, you know, I thought the tone was really set in the first inning by David Ross, of all people. You know, Lester gives up the bunt single. They're going to try to bunt down the guy because he has the problem throwing to first base. And Ross cuts down Gorky Hernandez trying to steal second. Then he picks off the base runner Gillespie in the third inning. The biggest blunder in this game was by Buster Posey. The little soft line drive that was hit off the bat of Angel Pagan to left field that Ben Zobrist went down to try to grab and it got by him. I tell you, and I don't know if he's going to admit it in the post game or if it was just the fact that he's not the fastest guy in the world, Posey forgot how many outs there were.
Yeah.
He wasn't moving, and he got to third base and give John Lester a lot of credit for shutting the door there in the fourth inning and getting the ground out to end the inning. And it seemed as like momentum kind of shifted toward the Cubs' favor in that instance when they dodged a bullet. They dodged a big bullet.
Yeah, no, they absolutely should have been losing 1-0 after that inning, and instead they win a game 1-0. And I'll ask you guys this. If I were to say we got Joe Maddon right now at the podium, so we'll hold that, and we'll go out to Wrigley Field right now and hear from the Cubs skipper.
Obviously, right from the get-go, the bunt, and then we throw a runner out at second base, and eventually the pickoff at first base. Javi up the middle. Their defense was fabulous tonight. Their second baseman had a hell of a night. Both sides really played an equal kind of a game. Cueto was outstanding. John Lester was outstanding. Defenses played. It was a classic kind of an old school baseball game. Obviously, you'd like to win those things, but give both teams credit. That was really a well played game of baseball.
Other questions? Right behind you, Bruce.
Right behind you.
There you go.
John Lester. Yeah, I mean, just from, you know, you had those first innings, you got the first hit. Guys getting hits that you guys cleaned up, but besides that, I mean, I think he retired 10, 12, 13, 14 in a row there.
Yeah. He looked good. Even the couple hits, the push bunt was a good play on their part, really well done. Gillespie, the one into short right field, and a couple dumpers in the left. So I think for the entire evening, he was actually throwing the ball really well, but he's really good at cleaning it up. Other teams get base runners. I spoke about that to somebody, I think, before the game, or maybe during the game itself. ERA is as good as it is because he really does do well with people on base. I know that's been everybody's wanting to run on him and do these different things, but you get out there and John does a nice job. Didn't surprise me. I thought he was really calm in his demeanor tonight. I thought he looked very comfortable out there. And, of course, him and David, the synergy between them is incredible. So all that stuff was obvious or apparent tonight, but so was their guy. Cueto was really good. It was a very interesting game. Obviously, we're happy we won. And, you know, there's a classic example of how big Wrigley Field can play because Javi absolutely crushed that ball and it barely made it into the basket. And then, furthermore, probably Posey's ball would have been out on a more neutral night. So that just really depicts how big this ballpark can play.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon live at Wrigley Field right now after the Cubs 1-0 victory.
Already in these playoffs. As this game was progressing, did you get a sense that a homer might win it? And can you talk about Javi hitting it?
Yeah, I didn't think too many runs. It was hard to manufacture because both pitchers were doing so well. There just wasn't enough base runners. There was not a whole lot of hard contact. We hit a couple balls decently. So normally, yeah, I mean, I can't deny. I wasn't thinking that, but you're right. More than likely, a game like that would end with a home run. Unfortunately, again, it happened for us. But my thoughts weren't there. It was just, you know, really staying with the bullpen. How's Johnny looking? Where's his spot coming up in the batting order? What are they going to do? I mean, those are the kind of that's where my focus was. I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of power. When he gets enough opportunity, meaning enough at-bats, he's definitely a 20-plus home run guy. But I love the base hit to right field, actually. I don't think it's any coincidence that he ended up hitting a home run because what he had done in his earlier at-bats, he was up there working good at-bats. He wasn't trying to do too much. Even the home run, I mean, it was his A hack, but it was in an area that he can do that with, so he didn't try to force something. I love when he's using middle opposite field, because I think when he does, you're going to see more opportunities for the ball to fly far to the left side.
I'll take two or three more standing
Joe,
to your
was,
left.
Was Chapman pitching the ninth regardless?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Were you prepared to bring him in sooner? Or?
Yes, we were. The way that inning was playing out, it was 7, 8, 9 coming up. I think it was 7. Tomlinson, Gillespie, Cueto. Now, had they gotten somebody on, they definitely would have hit for Cueto right there, but they did not, so they let him hit. I was pretty much had Chapman belt in mind if it got to that particular point. Although if they got something a little bit more friskier, we could have gone to him earlier. So he was absolutely ready.
We'll do three quick ones.
Yes,
Joe,
sir.
That sequence in the fourth, hope we even didn't cover this, when the only time they really threatened and Lester got the ground ball to Addison.
Right.
The confidence and the lift that gave you as a team. And then if you just, as a follow-up, did you get any clarification ever on the switching of the gloves?
Yeah, well, I talked to them before the game. Randy Marsh came up to me, and it's clearly ambiguous regarding the glove. There's no such rule, but it's just an interpretation on their part. This is what they'd like to see. I have no problem with it. It's the semantics involving a first baseman's glove and the first baseman having a first baseman's glove. I still will argue the point that even though Rizzo's playing there, he's still the first baseman. So it comes down to proximity to first base. Again, it's a semantical argument. Probably some lawyers put this whole thing together. But for me, we're happy to change gloves. It just takes a little bit longer. With the
ground ball.
Yeah, I mean, well, after the fly ball that landed in front of that's what I was talking about. John does not lose focus in those moments, and David does a wonderful job of calling the correct pitch in that moment. So it didn't surprise. We've done that a lot this year. I loved the pickoff at first base also. I thought, give David a lot of credit. The throw out at second, and then the throw to first, and the great tag once again by Hobby at first on the pick. Those are all really pertinent plays tonight.
We'll do the last one with Phil.
Yeah.
All right, that's Joe Maddon out at Wrigley Field. Good to hear from the Cubs skipper after a victory over the San Francisco Giants. Cubs go one up in the series.
Back to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Cubs win. Good start for the Cubs to get this first victory over the Giants. We were just—I gotta get it established that Kelby Tomlinson, the Giants second baseman, looks exactly like Mark Trestman, the former Bears head coach. He made that nice.
You just woke up this morning and said, "I'm going to say Mark Trestman on True Blue Playoff Plus."
Andy was there. We were watching. He made that nice. Tomlinson made that nice diving play, throw out Rizzo, I think.
Right.
At first, I go, "Was that Mark Trestman? Did he just make a diving stop at second?"
Yeah.
And then
he ran the wrong route.
Then I Googled it, and it was even more apparent.
Hey, when James gets older, and you can explain to him that you covered the worst 2 years in Bears football history, there will be a lot there. And you can thank Mark Trestman for that.
I'm going on year 6, no playoff appearances.
Maybe it's your fault.
Maybe it is.
Hey, looking through some of the tweets coming out of Wrigley Field, Javi Baez meeting the media, saying that he actually was contemplating and considering bunting to get on base in the at-bat that he eventually hit the game-winning home run.
Well, safe to say it was a good decision to swing for the fences.
No more bunting.
Yeah.
No more bunting.
Tell you, this Baez kid, not too bad for a Jim Hendry final draft choice that they wanted to trade for the last 2 years.
And see, I asked Joe Maddon about this, and I was there, you know, at most of the home games this year. I asked Maddon, this was about late May, early June. I said, can you afford not to play Javi Baez on a routine basis, to not play him, you know, 4 or 5 times a week? And at the time he said, yeah, I don't know. You know, I want to play the matchups and I want him to assimilate and learn the game and learn the pitchers and master scouting reports. This guy's got to play every day. He's got to.
Well, let me take it a little further. I mean, I've said it and I told you guys this tonight that they're a better team when he's playing. This guy has the capability of winning a gold glove. What position do you give him the gold glove at?
He can win it at 3 positions.
You know?
I mean, he can win in the third, he can win in the short, he can win in the second.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Sports Illustrated story this week that I didn't see till tonight when he makes that tag at first base with the shift. So all of a sudden he's at first, which we heard Joe Maddon just talking about there in the last segment with this ridiculousness with the glove. But You know, the Cubs believe that Javi Baez, it sounds silly to think about, but this stuff matters. This stuff matters. Mm-hmm. They think he's the best tagger. Like his ability to tag somebody out. It's such a small thing that you don't really think about. Mm-hmm. But you can look at so many teams across Major League Baseball with these swipe tags and all this nonsense. It matters being able to tag someone out. There are bad tags.
Yeah.
As silly as that is to say, and it's something little. These are the minute details that this regime is constantly worried about.
He was actually, he told us this about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, that he was actually playing ambidextrous when he was a kid.
Wow.
He was playing, you know, he could throw and catch with both the left and the right hand. And that's why he could catch an egg. If you whipped an egg at him, he could catch it without it cracking.
All right. If I were to ask you guys before this game, mm-hmm. who are the two most important guys in the lineup to have a good night, to get off to a good start offensively, who would you have said?
Well, if there's two guys, they're hitting fifth and sixth. And I would have thought that Addison Russell and Jason Hayward would have – I would have liked to have seen those guys get a little taste of getting on base here tonight. You know, Russell was hurt a little bit last year during the playoffs. And of course, Hayward's been there before, but – you know, that's the one part of the lineup, the way that it's constructed, especially tonight, you know, when you have a John Lester game and David Ross toward the bottom as well, that they're a little susceptible to pitching, you know, to the good pitchers because they don't get on base consistently. You know, Addison Russell has some huge, huge base hits. He's got 95 runs batted in the five hole as a shortstop, and that's among the leaders for that position. But I would have liked to have seen him kind of snap out of what he was going through toward the end of the year. And I thought that Hayward was actually making better contact once he quieted his feet at the plate toward the end of the year. And I thought that would translate into some hits.
I would have said Fowler and Rizzo.
Okay.
Well, so far, you guys have mentioned four guys that were not the two I was going to say.
Okay.
Because I would have said Fowler and Rizzo, and they went 0-for-6.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you can make arguments for a bunch of guys. But in my head, I'm thinking that if the Cubs are really going to do this year, they need their young guys to carry them. They need to really continue to blossom. Chris Bryant needs to carry on what he did in the regular season into the playoffs, carry this baseball team. And Javi Baez needs to emerge as someone who can hit clutch hits like he did tonight. Mm-hmm. The Cubs had three hits. They came from those two guys.
Yeah.
You had Bryant get a double, and you had Baez get two hits in this game, won the game-winning home run. So I think that was a very positive development for the Cubs tonight. We got to take a break, get to news, and then we'll check in with Mark Carman, who is live at Wrigley Field after the news. This is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN.
Let's go! Let's go!
Now, the Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir!
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Back here on True Blue Playoff Plus, Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Sam Panionovich here with you after Cubs victory.
Maze, what's it like to hear Sano?
Brings back such great memories.
Can you imagine if he was on the call for that homer? He would have cut Pat off away. Go, go!
It does bring back a lot of memories. It's, you know, obviously there were some lean times, but I vividly remember 03, the clinching of the division, and just the whistling from the booth, and it was he wore it, man. That was not an act. If anybody thought that was an act, you're kidding yourselves.
No, one of the best guys I have ever met after so many years of listening to him growing up. To meet him when I was an intern here was absolutely great. 312-981-7200, and I know a lot of people want to see this team win it for Ron Santo, but I'd like to see them win it for Mark Carman. How you doing over there? You okay? You breathing? You breathing all right?
Well, thanks, Adam. I really appreciate that. I think I'm number 7 gazillion on the list here. I am, I'm standing.
By the way, just for the record, I want them to win for Ronnie more than you. Sort of a joke there.
Yeah, Ronnie, I think, would be the number one guy that deserves it of all time. I'm standing, guys, looking down the third base line here, empty Wrigley Field. Cubs are up 1-0 in the NLDS. Javi Baez had the greatest bat I've ever seen. And that was a great baseball game. It was interesting. Lester just talked, and I asked him if he wanted to pitch the ninth. He did. He knew that he was going to lose the argument. And it was interesting, you know, it was when he felt he was dialed in, he thought he was pitching great all game long, or at least pitching well. But, you know, they kept on getting leadoff guys on. So, but he was a confident John Lester the whole way, as John Lester should be, because he's Mr. Big Game John Lester, and he did it again tonight.
David Ross, well, let's talk about him for a minute, too, because, you know, last year during the playoffs, everybody said, okay, this guy's a liability. He shouldn't be in the batting order. He shouldn't be catching. He shouldn't be this. He shouldn't be that. Grandpa Ross, he had himself a great year this year. I really felt, and we said this a little bit earlier in the show, that he settled Lester down, especially in the first inning with the caught stealing and then the pickoff.
No question. No question. I don't know if they win tonight without David Ross, right? I mean, Andy, it's incredible. I don't think that ever in the history of this team, actually, I know never in the history of this team, and maybe never again, will a backup catcher have this much impact and be this beloved. I mean, he's getting standing ovations after throwing out runners. And the play that, you know, the pickup at first, that was a whole setup play. Rizzo actually changed his glove out because he was where he positioned himself. He moved to an infielder's glove as they were having Javi come over there. I mean, it's just it's really the impact that David Ross has had on this team. It's immeasurable, really. He's a leader, and he's a great player. I mean, a really, you know, obviously doesn't hit 350 and hit 30 bombs, but he's had big hits this year, and the defense is just so huge.
Put this into perspective. David Ross became the first catcher to have a caught stealing and a pickoff in the same postseason game since Gabby Hartnett in 1935.
For the Brooklyn Dodgers?
For the Chicago Cubs.
Oh,
in 1935 in the World Series.
Oh. Mark.
Let me ask you this real fast. I'm sorry, Sam, but if you're David Ross, how do you retire? I mean, come on, man.
You retire on top.
I guess, but
he is Chicago's David Ortiz.
I mean, I would just feel like that would be really hard to walk away if I was playing this well. But anyway, go ahead, Sam. My bad.
You're under oath right now, for the record.
Okay.
Did you jump out of your seat when Javi Baez went yard?
Oh, of course. You kidding me? It was it was me and three of my high school buddies, or two of my high school buddies, and one guy I went to camp with enjoying, and Rahm was down to my right. The mayor went nuts tonight. When the Cubs won the game, I don't think I've ever seen a man as happy as the mayor was. And Bill Murray was like two rows in front of him. So, yes, I'm a very biased individual around this team, not gonna hide around that. I am not a journalist. And, yeah, it was great. It was, I mean, the at-bat was so good. He laid off pitches just off the plate. His body language the whole way was so incredible that I honestly sensed that he was going to hit a homer. I said it to the guy next to me right before he hit it, which you may or may not believe, but it is a true story. He just looked so locked in. But after the game, he said he was thinking about bunting there because Cueto had been so good. Then he was just trying to get on base, maybe with a walk. And then he hits that ball on a regular day is down the street. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the wind was coming out of a left field corner, right? So obviously, you know, it was fortunate that it just got out.
Mark Carmen, not a journalist. That's what it says on his business card here. But you're thrown into that role right now. Okay, what? Give us some other nuggets from the. From the locker, did I see that, or Andy told me during the break that David Ross said that Javi Baez is the greatest defensive player he's ever seen?
He's ever played with or ever seen.
That's interesting because I was around Ross twice. You know, I kind of made my way around the locker room twice, and I was with Ross twice. I did not hear him say that, but I mean, you go back and ask him. What's that?
He's not a journalist.
Go back and ask him. Yeah, go back.
He's not a journalist. He's already told us. He's not
we need
back.
The bite. We need it.
Yeah, no, we do need to get that. But, Sam, I think you're going to be out here tomorrow, so maybe you can recover that. But, there's a lot of guys throwing Javi a lot of love. I mean, you're talking about a guy that came up here, right, and he was free-swinging Javi, and he's not a Theo type of player, all that. Remember, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people thought this guy was going to be the lock to get traded. I don't think Javi Baez is going anywhere, right? I mean, this dude is cheap. And, you know, financially for them, and he can play all over the place, and he seems like everybody in that clubhouse. I mean, Brian was just talking about, you know, so much love his way. Like, that's Javi. Like, that's the type of – that's Javi. I mean, that's what's going on right now. You know, he's just – I mean, he kind of drives you a little bit nuts, right? Ground ball to second, he waits back on it. Hunter Pence nearly beats it out at first, and every play has got to have a little bit of Javi flair, but then the Javi flair comes through with the game-winning homer. I mean, it's you got to appreciate that guy.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but this feels like, if not a knockout blow to the Giants, this feels like a crushing blow right to their jaw. You only gave up 3 hits, yet you still lose 1-0. I mean, that place had to be raucous, rocking, out of control. I wouldn't want to be the Giants right now.
No, but I mean, I think if you're San Francisco, right, you're just hoping to get one here, and then you've got Mad Bum going in game 3. You love your chances, and then you got to get, you know, one of the next 2. So, and I don't know if, it, you know, I was wondering as tonight was going along, you think they bring back Cueto in game 4? I mean, I feel like that's an outlier too. So, you know, I mean, 3 World Series in 5 years, these guys aren't rolling over. They're, I'm sure they'll be ready to go tomorrow, and it's a huge, huge day for a guy who, you know, is, I guess, I mean, he has experience pitching last year, but it just feels like a really big day for Kyle Hendricks, obviously. So we'll see. We shall see.
Absolutely, but you got to love Joe Maddon giving him the chance and favorable matchup against Jeff Samardzija as well.
That's the other part of it. He's not going up against Johnny Cueto. I mean, I think the Cubs are going to hit Samardzija, and I really look forward to it.
I'm sure, because
you're not a journalist.
That's correct. So, listen, Samardzija has the potential to be great, but he also has the potential to throw a ton of pitches in 4 or 5 innings. Then you can get in that Giants bullpen, which is a weakness. So, I mean, you got to like the Cubs' chances tomorrow, you would think.
All right, well, tomorrow we won't ask you to be a journalist. You'll be back here in studio with myself, and I look forward to watching the game with you and keeping you calm and
good luck.
Not
good
throwing
luck
things and breaking windows.
Well, okay. I might have to drag you along with me. We might have to somehow get into the park tomorrow.
Yeah, you did this last year, too. This guy will go down to Wrigley for 3 innings just to, like, say he was there and live it
with his members-only Cubs jacket.
Yeah.
I know you cleared, like, you cleared at least 5 phone books when he hit that ball out. Don't even lie.
It was that was a great, great baseball game. And, I mean, I thought, negative karma. I thought we were going to have one of those sailing into the night for the Giants, and that's how this one was going to go. But it went the Cubs' way tonight. It's really, it's quite something, fellas. This is some historic times going on right now.
All right, Carm. Enjoy the win. Enjoy the night. Get some sleep. Yeah. See you tomorrow.
All right, team.
Okay, see you, Carm.
Guys. Okay.
All right, Mark Carmen out.
Not
a journalist.
I can't believe you said that.
Covering the game for us tonight.
In the stands.
Well, next to Rahm Emanuel.
With his Cub polo on.
Uh-huh. Who keep bringing this segment full circle, called Ron Santo, Ron Santos.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Time for a break. This is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN.
No doubt about it.
The best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus. Brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Cubs game win game 1-0 over the San Francisco Giants. Adam Hoge, Sam Panionovich, Andy Mazur here with you for one more segment. A lot to cram in here to a short 1 hour postgame show. But I want to go, Andy, you mentioned earlier the Cubs getting away with Buster Posey not knowing how many outs there were in the fourth, and it should have been 1-0. Let's also go to the ninth. Gorky's Hernandez did not go around. It was a close call, but who's the first base umpire?
Alan Porter.
Calls him out for the swing. Now, who knows how the rest of that at bat turns out, but he could have potentially been on first base, and Chapman gives up the double to Buster Posey. There was this easily could have been a blown save here.
Yeah, and another night, that ball might have gone. Because Posey really got a hold
of it. Good
point. And that was a slider, too. It was 88 miles an hour. If that was a fastball, imagine how far it would have went.
Posey's now 6-11 career, including postseason against Aroldis Chapman. And, Adams, we were watching it. I said to you, you know, there was a couple of games, maybe the last week of the regular season, where Chapman would get in non-save situations and basically was throwing all sliders and change-ups just to kind of – it was like a spring training game. You know, you work on things. And I won a bet, and I think it might have been to Hernandez. He threw 3 straight pitches that were averaging like 91 miles an hour, and then came back with 103. It's just not fair.
Not fair. Not fair at all. And we should also point out, I think most of the credit for this goes to Johnny Cueto. I don't think it's any reason to panic about the Cubs' offense yet, but 1-for-18. That's what the top 6 in the batting order did tonight for the Chicago Cubs. Now, you still win the game, That's also pretty impressive to win a game where you're 1 for 18 out of your top six.
Yeah, and I think it shows you again, you know, and the metrics scream defense and historical types of defense for the Cubs. And if you don't allow the other team to score, all you need to do is score one run, and that's what they did tonight. I mean, again, got some great defensive help from Ross and some nice plays on the infield, and that basically played right into the Cubs' hands.
I honestly look at tomorrow and look out. I think it's a hurricane waiting to happen. I mean, this Cub offense didn't even click at all. Mm-hmm. You know, they had two extra base hits. One was a double by Bryant. The other was a homer by Baez. Javi Baez tonight, the hero. If you missed it, if you've been under a rock, the Cubs win 1-0. Tonight they take a 1-0 lead in the series. Jeff Samardzija, like you said, Andy, he could get absolutely pounded tomorrow.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest games he's played in were at Notre Dame. I mean, that's the truth. When he was a receiver, you know, a guy that obviously does know the park, he knows Wrigley, he knows a lot of these guys that are on the team. It's so much different. And you know, John Lester, God bless him for being an honest kind of guy and not to sugarcoat the importance of a postseason start as opposed to a regular season start, because there's obviously different types of pressure. It's about how you handle it and embrace it instead of being scared of it and running from it. You don't know exactly how Samardzija is going to embrace his first career postseason start.
Well, you could say that about both starters.
Well, it's true.
I mean, Hendricks.
But Hendricks has been there. I mean, last year.
He's done it, yeah. But with the kind of the pressure that comes along with the season he's had and being thrown in there for game two, no one really knows how these guys are going to react tomorrow.
Well, and Sam, let me ask you, too, because you've been around the clubhouse a lot. And, you know, Chris Bryant said it yesterday that while there's expectations from the outside, there are no bigger expectations than from that group in the locker room.
Right. I mean, it started in the preseason. Embrace the target. Right. I mean, Joe Maddon threw that out there in the middle of February, that we know what our goal is. We know what happened last year. We've corrected the shortcomings we had. Our management staff brought in some contact hitters. We shored up the bullpen. We feel like this rotation with John Lackey now goes solid 1 through 4. This is a good thing here. And for all you Debbie Downers listening right now on the way home, the Cubs have a 1-0 lead with a Cy Young candidate on the mound tomorrow in game two with a chance to step on the Giants' throats. It's a good time to be a Cub fan.
Absolutely. It's a great situation for them to be in. And I'll go back to, again, winning game one, the importance of that. To me, you never know how a team is going to – I think it's, first of all, great that the Cubs won the division so early, had the time they had to kind of rest up and get ready for the playoffs, because we saw the fatigue set in last year in the NLCS. But you always wonder how a team's going to react then when it's time to dial it back up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And to get off to a good start like they did tonight and get this first game, I think is a very good thing for them to kind of get that momentum going once again, because you got to hit that restart button.
The Giants push, the Cubs push back, and here we are, game two tomorrow.
Yeah. This is going to be a good series. I mean, I said this morning that I thought the Cubs in four. I just think that they're a better team from top to bottom. I think that when you throw the bullpen situation into the mix, I'd give it to the Cubs any day of the week. You know, the experience factor, I think there's something to be said for what the Giants have gone through the last 5 years, and there's a lot of players that have been through all three of the championships that they've won. And there's a little X factor and intangible in that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to keep the Cubs conversation going. Patty Vasquez is here. I know, Sam, you're going to stick around for a little bit with her. We'll keep the Cubs conversation going, so you can still jump in with phone calls, 312-981-7200. This is True Blue Playoff Plus. We'll be back tomorrow night after Game 2. Sam, you're going to be at the ballpark tomorrow. Mark Carmen will be here with me. A little bit of an earlier start tomorrow, which will be nice.
7:08, I believe, first pitch.
A normal time, which is...
Very nice.
Although game three is going to be like, I think, 8:38 or something like that. But at least that one's on the West Coast.
Yeah,
so you can
there's an excuse.
Live with that. All right. True Blue Playoff Plus. We'll be right back here on 720 WGN. Cubs win 1-0 over the San Francisco Giants and have a 1-0 lead in the series. Tomorrow night, it's Kyle Hendricks and Jeff Samardzija looking for revenge at Wrigley Field.
He looks like Captain Morgan, by the way.
Yeah.
He looks like Captain Morgan. Doesn't he?
A little bit. He definitely does.
He does.
This was True Blue Playoff Plus. Patty Vasquez keeps the Cubs conversation going next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is midnight, and here is Rob Martier.